Good. To God be the glory. I knew that one. Always know the tune. Maybe not know the title of it, but did know that one. Well, take your Bibles tonight and find with me two passages of Scripture. One is found over in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. And then we'll look over in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. And then Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. If you ever want to know why God gives you fingers, it's to hold your place in your Bible. If a preacher preaches a missionary sermon, you know, where he's all over the place, you can kind of follow along. But we'll start in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. We're looking at a man that's found in the Hall of Faith. He's a man not mentioned very often. Matter of fact, we only find him mentioned in three instances in Scripture. I think a total of maybe eight verses in all the Word of God. And it is the man by the name of Enoch. Now, the name Enoch is a name that means dedicated. And the Bible says about him over in Genesis chapter number 5 and verse 21. It says, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And then the Bible says, and Enoch, it said it again, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Then over in Hebrews chapter 11, in verses 5 and 6, we find these words. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then it says in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I heard the story of a lady who had prayed for her husband's salvation for many, many years. Finally, one Sunday, he shocked her by agreeing to go to church with her. And so they found their place, and she sat wherever he wanted to sit. And she picked up the bulletin, excited to see what the pastor was going to preach on that particular morning. Well, she saw he was preaching out of Genesis chapter 5. Well, she didn't exactly recognize that. But so as she turned and began to read through that passage of Scripture, that chapter, her heart sank. Because she thought, here I am, I'm able finally to get my husband to church. He's lost. He needs to hear the gospel. And now the preacher is going to preach where all she could see was a listing of names, eight names, and how long they lived, and that they died. Well, as the sermon that she thought or envisioned it would be was not really very good in her estimation. But interestingly enough, at the invitation, that man slipped out of that place of privacy, took the pastor by his hand, prayed with the pastor, and trusted Christ to be his Savior. Well, as they were driving home, the wife, wondering what it was that the preacher said, she said, what was it that God used to really prick your heart? He said, well, over and over and over again, that pastor said, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. And she said, he said, it was a reminder to me that one day I would die, and I wasn't ready just as Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter. 1 Corinthians 15 is a resurrection chapter. Romans 8 is the Holy Spirit chapter. Genesis 5 is what is referred to as that of the death chapter. Eight times it says, and he died. But there was one person in that chapter that the Holy Spirit could not say, and he died. And that was this man, Enoch. Last week we looked at Abel. We saw that Abel was the first martyr. Abel was the first example in the Bible of the first murder in the Bible. Well, this man, Enoch, was the first one that entered heaven without dying. Enoch becomes a picture, a type of a believer that is taken to heaven whenever the Lord Jesus comes for his church. And that event, known as the rapture, and those who are alive will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So as we think about Enoch tonight, there are four things that I notice from this passage of Scripture, from these two passages of Scripture, that really qualifies him to be listed in God's hall of faith. First of all, I notice that Enoch believed God. Enoch believed God. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, right after it mentions his name, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder, or that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, friend, we're not saved by walking with God, but we are to walk with God after we're saved. Now, how was Enoch saved? Well, the Bible says, I believe he was saved like Abraham. The Bible said he believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. It says in the next chapter, there in Genesis chapter number 6, it says about Noah, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So this man Enoch experienced the grace of God and exercised a belief or a faith in God. You know, but the Bible said for 65 years, he didn't walk with the Lord. Evidently, for 65 years, he didn't know the Lord. But something happened when his son, Methuselah, was born. And there was a transition there, a transition in verse number 22 of Genesis chapter 5, because it says, after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. So God used the birth of this son Methuselah for this man Enoch to have his life turned around. You know, Enoch, being the father of Methuselah, Methuselah ended up living the longest life recorded in Scripture. Lived 969 years. Now imagine if he had been on Social Security. It'd have broke the government, wouldn't it? But the name Methuselah means when he is gone, it will come. When he is gone, it will come. Evidently, when Methuselah was born, now, I'm going to use a little sanctified imagination here. But evidently God spoke to Enoch that after the death of Methuselah, there would be the judgment of God. Judgment would fall. When you read over in the book of Jude, it mentions this man Enoch two different times. And Enoch, after he came into a relationship with God, Enoch was a preacher of righteousness, but Enoch preached judgment. In my reading this week and in preparation for this, I came across something that was interesting. Evidently somebody, and I didn't need this to in order to believe in the authenticity and the integrity and the infallibility of Scripture. But it was interesting what this person said. He said, if we make the year of creation of Adam as year one and calculate the years recorded in Genesis 5, then we would discover that Methuselah was born in the year 687 from the creation of Adam. Keep that in mind, 687. Well, he lived 969 years. So living 969 years plus being after being born in 687, he gets a total of 1656, which is the number of the year in which he died. Now, if we continue our calculations, we discover that Noah was born in the year 1056 from the creation of Adam. But how old was Noah when the flood came? He was 600 years old. You add that 600, and the flood came in the year 1656, the year Methuselah died. Evidently, God had spoken to Enoch that when Methuselah dies, the judgment will come. Now you think about that. Every time he got a cold, Enoch thought, I wonder if this is going to be it. Every time maybe he had one of those childhood diseases, if he did, Enoch would think, I wonder if this is it. See, Enoch lived between the garden and the flood. And we get over in Genesis 6, which we'll look at next week when we look at Noah. I mean, the Bible said it grieved, it burdened the heart of God that it even created mankind because of the wickedness that was there. In spite of that, the Bible says that Enoch walked with God. First of all, Enoch believed God. But I want you to notice something else. Not only did he believe God, Enoch walked with God. That's what the Bible says over in the book of Genesis, that Enoch walked with God. Now, there are two individuals in the Bible that it's mentioned that they walked with God. One was Enoch. The other was Noah. Because the Bible says over in Genesis 6 and verse 9 that Noah walked with God. So in order to walk with God, what must be true about my life and your life? I mean, we're bringing it up to the present. What must be true about our life? First of all, there must be a compatibility. There must be an agreement with God. We've got to walk with God. We've got to be in lockstep with God. When I'm in harmony with God, then I am in obedience unto God. You see, the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? I had a man in one of the churches I pastored. And he'd gone into business with an unbeliever. And I watched it. He was a believer, but he went into business with an unbeliever. And there was a constant struggle because they had a different worldview. You see, God says, don't be unequally yoked. I tell the young ones that, you know, God doesn't tell you who to marry, but he tells you who not to marry. And when you're unequally yoked, you got the devil as your father-in-law. And what happens is there's a constant tension. One wants to serve God, and one wants to do something else. One wants to tithe, and the others, well, we can use that money for something else. And there is a constant tension. You see, God knows what he's doing. And how can two walk together except they be agreed? There needs to be compatibility. We ought to be like that country preacher who knelt down on his knees and said, God, the answer is yes. Now, what's the question? I like that. The answer is yes. Now, what's the question? There has to be compatibility. But second, there has to be confession. You see, your relationship with the Lord is fixed. It's fixed. But your fellowship is fluid. I don't worry about losing my relationship with the Lord because I have eternal life. He's in me, I'm in him. He's made me a promise. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. How do you lose somebody that'll never leave you? How do you lose somebody that will never forsake you? I don't worry about losing a relationship with the Lord. But, you know, Joyce could push the wrong button and I can get out of fellowship with the Lord. And you can too. I can be driving along, get behind that person that's practicing for a parade, and I can get out of fellowship with the Lord. You know? You ever get behind those? Well, but so we have to confess. We have to be in fellowship with the Lord. That's why 1 John 1 and verse 9 is so important. It says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful, just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. You know what confess means? It means to say the same thing as. Doesn't mean you bring your excuses to the Lord, but we call it what God calls it. There's compatibility. We agree with God. We're in harmony with God. There's confession. We live in a state of repentance. And then what results is communion. See what happens? It leads to that of a walking with the Lord. One preacher put it like this, because the Bible says that Enoch walked with God for 300 years and he was not, because God took him. So he didn't experience that of physical death. And this preacher said, put it like this. He said, Enoch walked so closely with God that one time God said, you know, Enoch, it's late. And we're closer to my house than we are your house. So let's just go on to my house. Enoch walked with God. Enoch believed God. And here's a third thing. Enoch pleased God. Enoch pleased God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 in verse 5 that he had this testimony that he pleased God. He had the testimony. What a testimony. That he pleased God. And then the Bible says, and leads us into verse 6 of Hebrews 11, without faith, he didn't say it's hard. Didn't say it's going to be a struggle. He said without faith it's impossible to please. You know, you can live your life in one of three ways. You can live your life for yourself. And all you want to do is please yourself. And somebody has well said, if you're all wrapped up in yourself, you make a real small package. You know, and some folk just need to get over themselves. But they live for themselves. The second thing is, another way is just to live to please others, to make everybody happy. You know, when I started out in pastoring, I just felt like, you know, if I would love God and preach the Word and love the people and minister to the people and stand on the Word and pray, and you know, I kind of thought they'd just kind of gather around me and sing How Great Thou Art, and that, you know, that I would, I'd be leading the way and they'd be following close by my side. But then I'd look around and they wouldn't be following. And I came to the realization that all I can do is love them and give them the truth of the Word of God. But I can't make anybody grow. I can't call you at 6 o'clock in the morning and say it's time to get up. Time to have that quiet time. Remember, we're reading Proverbs every day. Time to get your Bible. Get that prayer notebook. I can't do that. And so we have to take responsibility for our own spiritual life. Some live just to please others. Someone said this. Someone said the only way to escape criticism is to do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. But if you do, you'll be criticized for doing nothing, saying nothing, and being nothing. You can live to just please yourself. You can live just to try to make everybody else happy, which is an impossible job. But there's a third way, and I think it's the Bible way. Live to please God. You know, the Bible said in Proverbs 16 and verse 7, if a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace. You see, if I please you and displease the Lord, I fail. But if I please the Lord, regardless of whether you're pleased or not, God is honored. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9. This is a good verse. He says, "For we make it our goal to be pleasing to Him." That's a good... I was talking to a former church member that called me this week, teaching Sunday school, teaching out of 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10 is that about the offering of the meat to idols, and, you know, and he was wanting to know, he said, I'm struggling with how to make application. I said, well, Ken, I said, man, there are three verses, verse 23 and verse 31 and verse 33 of 1 Corinthians 10 that gives us some wonderful principles. I mean, whatever we do, do to the glory of God. I mean, we're to do things to edify ourselves. I mean, we're to do it that other people would come to Christ. And I said, you know, challenge your class. Challenge them. Are you pleasing God? I mean, do you make that? But when you make a decision, I mean, bring God into it. Is God going to be pleased by this? Is this going to be pleasing to Him? Or is it going to be dishonoring to Him? Enoch believed God. Enoch walked with God. Enoch pleased God. But then number four, Enoch went to be with God. He went to be with God. Now, Hebrews put it this way. He says God had taken him. Genesis simply says he was not. And Hebrews 11:5 in the King James says that God translated him. Then he moved him from one place to another. You see, there were two individuals in the Bible that didn't taste death. One was Enoch. Who was the other? Elijah. That's right. They were a picture of the rapture of the church. Let me remind you, there's coming a day when the bride of Christ is going to be complete. God the Father is going to tell God the Son to get His bride. The Bible said there's going to be a shout. Be the voice of the archangel. The Bible said it's going to be in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. The Bible said we'll not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. It says that over in 1 Corinthians 15. Probably ought to put that in every church nursery. We'll not all sleep, but we'll all be changed. The Bible said in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ will rise first. You see, when Enoch left, you look over in Genesis 5, they looked for him. Couldn't find him. When Elijah was caught up by that whirlwind, went to heaven, they looked for him and couldn't find him. Enoch left, saved. He left serving, and he left suddenly. Enoch left a void. You know, if the Lord delays His coming, all of us ought to so live for Christ that there's a void. There's a void. I had a fellow that I, a preacher friend that, you know, for a preacher, there's no better friend than a preacher friend. And I had a good preacher friend that distance had separated us from really being able to get together. And he went to be with the Lord. We went to his funeral last August. And by the name of Richard Johnson. And I told his wife, I said, you know, I've known Richard for over 40 years. Had him in my church. I've been in his church and ministered to his people. And I said, you know, I said, this is the first time he's disappointed. Well, his wife looked. I said, yeah, I said, because he beat me to glory. He beat me to glory. We ought to leave. See, when I think about Enoch, I think of a man, and I'll close with this. I think of a man by the name of Lawrence Bryant. Lawrence Bryant was a salesman at a chicken processing plant. He'd call on these stores, and different places and down in South Arkansas. Well, Lawrence had a had an evangelistic ministry. He was a layman called Laborers in the Harvest. And he had a he'd come in, train you people in evangelism. He had a program that he used. Not had him before, and our paths would cross from time to time. But I got word. A mutual friend called me one day and said, "You probably didn't hear, but Brother Lawrence died." I said, "No, I didn't know. I knew he was a widower. I knew his wife had preceded him to glory." He said, "But let me tell you how he died." He said they'd not seen him for 2 or 3 days, and so they did one of these checks, you know, where you bring the police in because he didn't have family close by. Nobody'd seen him. So they go into the house, and they go into the bedroom, and Lawrence Bryant evidently had been on his knees by his bed praying. Evidently was stricken by a massive heart attack, and he died on his knees. You know, I thought, you know, here he was talking with the Lord, stricken with that massive heart attack, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the next thing, he's in the presence of the Lord. I could imagine Brother Lawrence saying, "You know, I was just talking to you just a little bit ago, and here I am in your presence." You know why they searched for Enoch? Because they missed him. He left a vacancy. And he made a difference. I can't think of a better thing to be said about your life or my life, that we would walk with God. Because Enoch believed God. Enoch walked with God. Enoch pleased God. And God took him. He didn't have to experience that of death. I want you to bow your heads now.